Thank you. Let's begin with one of our hymns for the day. Prepare the royal highway, the King of Kings is near. Let every hill and valley a level road appear. Then greet the King of Glory, foretold in sacred story. Hosanna to the Lord, for he fulfills God's word. God's people see him coming, your own eternal King. Palm branches strew before him, spread garments, shout and sing. God's promise will not fail you, no more shall doubt assail you. Hosanna to the Lord, for he fulfills God's word. Then fling the gates wide open to greet your promised King. Your King, yet every nation its tribute too should bring. All lands bow down before him, all nations now adore him. Hosanna to the Lord, for he fulfills God's word. His is no earthly kingdom, it comes from heaven above. His rule is peace and freedom and justice, truth and love. So let your praise be sounding for kindness so abounding. Hosanna to the Lord, for he fulfills God's word. Amen. Blessed Advent to you. Any announcements before we get started? Welcome to our newest confirmand, Corey. He's looking forward to communing for the first time next weekend or on Christmas. Good to see you. Anyone else that we need to introduce? We have a brother visiting from Angelica, I believe. Good to see you. Thank you for being with us today, and God's peace and grace go with you as you leave today. In our Bible study, we're going through some of the high points of the old resource. The Sunday school uses 100 Bible stories. And I don't know if I should apologize beforehand, but I had initially thought we would skip this one because it's a very skippable lesson. Genesis 4 and 5 are genealogies, which means someone begat someone begat someone. But these are genealogies, and the only history that we have, the only reliable history that we have before the flood. And that's very interesting. You know, before the 19th century, every geologist, everyone who studied the earth saw evidence for the worldwide flood worldwide. Wherever they looked, they found this silt layer on every continent. I don't know if it's a technical term or a common term, but the source that I read years ago, they called it the Lesch. And it sounds German, doesn't it? Lesch. But the Lesch was worldwide, and it was the sign that water catastrophe had happened over the whole face of the earth. And just about every, if you want to call it primitive culture, that Western culture has run into has a flood narrative, a story about the flood. And, you know, Eric von Daniken, I think his name is, the guy that wrote Chariots of the Gods, who said that there were visitors from outer space, aliens that came and advanced our culture and did certain things. Well, that's really filling the gap of prehistory. It's filling the gap because people wonder what happened in ancient history and what we would say before the flood. And the other one that you're going to find if you investigate these things is that they found in the 19th century a great big library from the Sumerian culture. And that's in the Near East. And it dates back to about 3000 BC. And it's the most ancient texts that we have. And Sumerian had to be post-flood, right? And it proves itself because it's got something called the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is very similar in some ways to the flood account in Genesis. And the Sumerian clay tablets give a history of what came before the flood. And a lot of people look at that history and say, oh yeah, it's aliens from outer space. But what the Sumerians said was that their culture before the flood was influenced by gods, with a capital S, gods. With a... Thank you for asking. gods with a little g and an s at the end. Okay, so gods, and they talked about being ruled before the floods by these serpent gods and that sort of thing. And it all sounds strange to us. But if you look at the Bible as being reliable, you can almost sort of read a counter-religion in the Sumerian texts, a competing religion to Judaism, because it draws a lot of Judaistic characteristics from it. And if there are serpent gods that are ruling, what would our Christian minds go through? What are these serpent gods? Yeah, the devil.
Has nobody proposed that that was just the huge, huge dinosaurs that kept the people in fear all the time?
Oh, yeah, sure, that's a possibility. I've heard that theory, sure. Yeah, but again, it's sort of filling the gap, because people want to know what's in ancient history, and archaeologists are finding signs of cultures even in Africa, which we think of as being primitive. You know, they're finding signs of cultures where literal evidences. And again, as Bible believers, we say, well, what culture could have flourished and then all of a sudden gone out of business and disappeared? Well, pre-flood, right? Pre-flood. And I think a lot of people that are alternative scientists that don't believe in evolution are looking into some of these ancient texts. They won't look in the Bible, but they look in these ancient texts to find out where we came from. But again, this is why I'm sort of drawn to going through this, because the Bible actually gives us an account of some history that takes place before the flood, so that we don't have to be completely ignorant about what it was, what happened before the flood. And so I thought it'd be good for you maybe just to go through these genealogies. Was there a question? Well, one of Noah's sons left Noah with a curse. Remember, he saw his Noah was not perfect either. Here we go. Noah plants a vineyard and gets drunk, and his sons see his nakedness, and one of them makes fun of the father, and he leaves the place with a curse. So it's a wonderful thing to say what you're saying. There were certain times in history where everyone was in faith. Adam and his two sons from Genesis 3, at that time, every person in the world had the right religion and faith. Although Cain repudiates the faith, right? At the end of the flood, Noah and the eight people and the seven other people on the ark all have the right religion. It doesn't last long. That's the caution that we have. You can't guarantee how your children are going to turn out or what's going to happen, even with us. Any of us can fall from faith, if not by the grace of God. And it doesn't take much, evidently. Yes?
The thing is that the flood is between Adam and Noah, so it was still part of God's creation. We know that they were not the nicest of people at the time of the flood.
Methinks you've been on YouTube.
I have. You know, I see a picture describing a man who's probably over 10 foot tall.
Yeah.
And bones have been found, and in the 20s, where they moved from mountains around North America and put in the Smithsonian. And so there are new stories of that. So, I mean, it's interesting that you say, well, this can't happen. But yet, when you look at how Scripture lays it out timeline-wise, then who knows?
Well, and again, I don't know if I should be ashamed of this or not, but I feel like the Bible study today will go off in some pretty weird directions. So I will apologize to begin with, and this is being recorded. So watch out what you're saying. It's going on the internet, and we can all listen to it afterwards.
It's good that we studied.
Yes, I think it's... We could take a Sunday off for this this thing, I think.
It is Scripture.
It is Scripture, right? That's right. All right. Let's go ahead then. You have on you Genesis 4, verses 18 and following. We recall last week we talked about the fall of Cain and the murder of Abel. To Enoch, and this is unto Enoch, and Irath begot Mahujael, and Mahujael begot Methusael, and Methusael begot Lamech. Then Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the second was Zillah. And Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naama. Then Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God hath appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also was a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. So, in the last part of Genesis 4, we have a chronology or a family tree for the nation of Cain. And Cain is likened by Luther in his commentary as an excommunicated person. And so the church is Adam and his family, and again, eventually Seth, and Cain is at odds with him. And as Luther goes through the meaning of these names, read what he says here. Born Arad, I do not know what to make of this name. Its origin is rather unclear, and yet I think that it too is in the nature of an omen and not haphazard. In the book of Joshua appears the city Ai, and the same word is used as an appellative. But the word Haya denotes a heap, such as destroyed buildings. If you establish a connection between the noun and this name, this word denotes a heap that comes down. And so Enoch called his son Irad, that the latter might be prosperous and might come down with a great heap. And so he's expecting great things of the son, but there's also an idea of tragedy. Great things will be built, but then it'll fall in a heap, so that Cain's posterity would not perish altogether, but would be preserved and increase. And so this son, Irad, is a sign of hope for Cain that his descendants will flourish. Irath begat Mahujael. This name is a compound of two words that means destroy, and he began. Thus the meaning is that Cain's posterity has now gained such an increase that it has dared to oppose itself to the true church and despise and pursue it, inasmuch as Cain's descendants were superior in means, wisdom, glory, and numbers. This is generally the way the true church is overcome by the world and the false church. Now, I think Luther is being guided somewhat by the words of Jesus that at the end of the world it would be like in the days of Noah. And the picture that's being painted here is that you've got renegade Cain and his family being not only a family but a church. And the sign that they are increasing and having children is encouraging to them. and they are getting to the size where they can start exerting pressure on the true church. And it seeks toleration. Don't kill me. Let me live. And then when it increases and prospers and becomes stronger, it becomes intolerant to the truth. That's the way of modern, we would say, I don't want to be pejorative and political, but that's sort of the way of insidious doctrines. They beg for toleration. We're not trying to destroy you. We just want to live and have peace. And then when they prosper and become strong, they turn around and become intolerant. Mahujael begot Methusael. Moth denotes death, and Sha'al means to ask for, to demand. From this verb comes the name Saul, that is, one asked for. This is a more arrogant name than all the others. My understanding of it is that they are threatening to avenge their dead parents, whom the other church had punished with excommunication and exile. So you have this idea of an increasing culture. And then you get to these patriarchs of advancement, right? Ada bore Jabal, and he was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. These are the herders. This is a means to prosperity and a means of providing for a lot of people. And so you see an advance of civilization, no longer making just enough for my family, but enough to make commerce and support cities. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all those that play the harp and the flute. And so outstanding talent of music. Who's got the better music, church growth or the Lutheran church? You better say the Lutheran church. But in many people's opinion, they've got the praise bands. They've got the stuff that's really appealing to people. Yes, another side, that prosperity is being pushed along with all of those, very, very good. But if we consider it as Luther did, with this being the church, we see music here being emphasized, and if music is being emphasized, what might be de-emphasized? The word, right? Yes.
I always wondered why the names were
Well, you have to wait a few weeks till we get to Abraham.
But especially Saul to Paul. And you just mentioned the...
Well, this Saul they're talking about is King Saul in the Old Testament. The chosen one, the one asked for, it comes from the word to ask for. And why was Saul appointed king? Because the people asked for a king. Let's not get on that. We'll get to it when we get to it. You're just like my eighth graders. They're always 10 steps ahead of me. So, verse 22, and as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naama. Now, this is interesting. All of this advancement that's going on, where does all this advancement come from? Well, where did they get all this knowledge from? Did any of you Crowe? Who's that actor?
Russell
Crowe in the Noah movie? Anyone see it? It's a bad movie, but you should see it. Where they got the stuff from that movie is Jewish apocryphal writings. The stuff that's in that movie, you should see it. not because it's true, but it's an interesting story, and it comes from Jewish apocryphal writings, which means what Jews proposed back when that's not inspired. And there's these rock creatures in the movie that help Noah, and they're called the Watchers, and they're supposedly angels that came down to help man. And so according to Jewish fable, many of these advancements came because angels came and helped man to discover these things. Now, would angels of God have done that? Well, again, I would say no, especially considering who they're helping. But if these people are being helped by angels, what kind of angels are they? Fallen angels. Fallen angels can take a lot of forms. You know, where are the little green men after they've stopped abducting people? Where are they? They just appear. What might they be? When did who start writing on the scroll?
Anyone.
Probably in so 2000 BC, perhaps.
But there was clay writing. Supposedly, there's clay writing that was earlier than that. Oh, they would get wet clay, put it on some type of a board or something, and while it was wet, they would make marks on it. But there could have been writing before the flood, and all the writings have been destroyed. The Bible just doesn't lay out every single detail.
Or they could be waiting to be discovered. Who knows? I wonder if we could read them if we found them.
Maybe we have found them, didn't know what they were.
I don't know. The Sumerian writings that I was telling you about are dated by the scientists to be about 3000 BC. And by conventional dating standards, that's about the time that we consider the flood may have happened, if you consider creation to be 4000 BC. Many have dated the flood to be 3000 BC, which raises a great question that this Sumerian empire obviously was after the flood. And was there time between the flood and 3000 BC for this civilization to have sprung up and occurred? A lot of questions about dating. Okay, so again, it is the race of Cain that is advancing and progressing, and this is to suggest that in temporal ways, they are being blessed in an apparent way much more than Cain's, Seth's descendants are going to be, and this false church is in a position to oppress and drive out of existence the true church. And is not that the way Jesus describes conditions on earth before the second coming? So again, there's this consistency in history, and our understanding of this ancient history before the flood is tempered by what Jesus says and the reality of the church in all ages. It's already. And there are always the powerful that seek to oppress it. And the other thing that, going along Mike's comment and leading us, these are all forms of power. Music power, technological power, civilization power. And they seem to be advanced much more than the righteous race. Also, it raises the question, Machu Picchu in South America and pyramids and these great megalithic structures all over the world, the Mayans and the people in South America were crude people. They did not have the technology to build those things. And the question is, when did they get built? And the possibility is that they were pre-flood. And maybe they had some technologies that we have not discovered and don't know. Got a lot of questions when we go to heaven. What was that?
We have a number of people, say, we have a number of people, YouTube style, who say that there are advanced signs of advanced civilization under the ice in Antarctica. And who knows? But consider that if you had a flood and a great cooling, that civilization may have been there.
But along those lines, the interesting thing about it is the consistency. You've got pyramids and you've got astral alignments all over the earth. It's almost as if they had all had the same religion. And it was like a religion of science. You look to the heavens to discover the heavens. You don't look to the word. This is the desire of the devil always to have a one world religion. And if you look at the consistency of these things, it looks like a one world religion. All these pyramids all over the place. What were they doing? They were looking to the stars. Seeking God and the gods in the heavens. And having a plurality of gods that were ruling. Well, who wants to be God? The devil and all of his angels wants to be gods.
Isn't there something in Genesis going forward, maybe we'll see it, about people on earth intermarrying with gods or something?
Hold on. Genesis 5. Let's move on.
Wait, did you do 25?
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. Then Adam knew his wife again. We know what that means. And she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And again, she's calling him a seed for her. Now, what does that remind us of?
The promise,
right? The seed of a woman. I have another seed to replace the one that was killed. And it's obviously that Cain is not the one, although they thought that he was as he was growing up. As for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call in the name of the Lord, which means they started worshiping. They started having church.
And this is the other line.
And this is the other line. This is Adam's line that is not excommunicated. Adam's line that is consistent and united with Adam and not expelled and cursed like Cain. Now the other thing that we should say that we've skipped. Look at this. Lamech kills somebody for wounding him. And he says to his wives in his church, if Cain is avenged 7 times, then I should be avenged 70 times 7. In other words, I had the right and I should be protected after killing this man. And so what is the view of grace in church? The bigger the sin, the bigger the grace. Or let us sin much so that grace may abound. It is a religion that has a law where everyone can do what is right in his own eyes. And I want to say, as long as I'm not hurting anyone else, but here's I can even hurt someone else. And I should be affirmed in doing what I want to do. And why can Cain do it? Why can Cain's great-great-grandson do it? Because he's got power. I've got the tools. I've got the implements. I've got the wealth. It's great to be the king, as Mel Brooks said, in the history of the world. With that power comes might, and might makes right. And there you see the wherewithal for persecuting the true church. Yes, sir. Yeah, and God claimed to be the avenger, right? Isn't that what he's saying with Cain? Nobody should take vengeance on him because vengeance belongs to me. And now Lamech is claiming divine right to do what he wants. Do you think people in power tend to do this? Yeah.
They're,
well, see that now, and again, this is our fall in American politics. Politics is a thing of law and power, where I thought that America was based on truth. Well, again, if we want to make America great again, it's not by it's not by power, but by the truth. Speech, there was a belief that truth would win over the lie, that the truth would endure and the lie would fall away. We don't believe that anymore. We believe that might makes right. Let's move on. Genesis 5. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. Now, there are several chapters in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, that begin in this way, the Sefer Toledot, the books of the genealogies. And some people see that as the heading of a new scroll, because it seems to be a beginning. It seems to be a formula of a beginning. But the main point that I'm making with that is that this is a major break. You've got the account of Cain's descendants and then a major break in the text in Genesis 5 to describe the genealogy of Seth. Now, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam and the day that God created man. He made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Then after he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. Seth lived 107 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Cainan. After he begot Cainan, Enosh lived 815 years, and he died. Cainan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel, you say it, Cainan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Cainan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. Then he begot Jared, and the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech, and he begot Lamech. Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Diana asked, were they triplets?
I don't know. I don't know. It could be. I mean, it's allowable to guess. A lot of the guesses.